You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Lots of great stuff that's happening tomorrow. General Keith Kellogg is going to be here. Former National Security Advisor. Just a really, really solid guy and somebody who can give us a lay of the land on what the threats to America are. It is just incredible stuff that's out there. We'll look forward to welcoming him to the program tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be sort of like our Friday, because Friday is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, it's the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. And so I will not be here. We got Mike Dickinson joining us just about a half hour from now. Looking forward to chatting with him. There's renewed pressure on the Richmond City Council to adopt a resolution condemning Israel. Why? Well, because that's a heck of a lot easier to do than it is to, you know, figure out how to fill in potholes or make the Richmond public schools better or get police officers and firefighters equipment that's up to date and a salary that meets minimal standards. You know, that sort of stuff takes a lot of hard work. But if they can convince the members of the Richmond City Council to just adopt a resolution condemning Israel, well, then at least Greta Thunberg would be happy. And we've got Hurricane Milton. I got friends, I got family that are dealing with this. And it is ugly. There are tornadoes popping up throughout Florida as we speak. The worst of it is centered right around Tampa. The outer bands of Milton are producing these pop-up tornadoes. And I keep seeing information here and there about the storm intensifying. I don't know how much stronger it can get, right? Category 5 is the most serious, the most severe level. I don't think there is such a thing as Category 6. I suppose the winds and everything could be exceeding what's in a Category 5, but man, it's nasty. It is just nasty. It is the real deal. It's one of the reasons that I'm just so absolutely disgusted watching the vice president. Look, I think she's a buffoon. And I've always thought that she was a buffoon, but I don't think she's stupid. I keep saying that. I really don't think she's stupid. I don't think she's ready for prime time, as they say. But to sit with these second-rate comedians, she was on with that Stephen Colbert, popping a beer. Now, maybe there's a time and place for that. I don't want to sound like the grumpy old guy. I mean, sometimes I feel like the grumpy old guy. But I don't want to sound like that, but I'm thinking, listen, you've got millions of Americans right now who, to put it mildly, are in harm's way. And if you really did give a crap about them, like you say you do, and I want to take you at your word, make no mistake, I want to take you at your word, then you would not be sitting with Stephen Colbert drinking Old Milwaukee. But that's where you are. And you're sitting with Howard Stern. I don't know exactly what you're doing with Howard Stern because I forced myself to listen. I did. You see the things that I do for you? 52 minutes of my life that I will never get back. And Germ, just so you know, it's a little bit like the meeting we had earlier today. That's what was that? 42, 44 minutes of my life that I will never get back. But, you know, I do these things because somebody's got to do them. So I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. I listen to this Howard Stern thing so that you didn't have to. And there was a time where I got to tell you something. I really thought that some of what he did was very entertaining. Not all of it, but some of it. Haven't listened in years, and I did listen to this, and I'm thinking, huh, now I know why I haven't listened in years. He provided a platform that was about as friendly and supportive and non-threatening as was humanly possible, and our vice president still couldn't acquit herself in a positive way. Let me give you a little bit more. No, you know what? If I had to listen to it, then you have to listen to it. Fair's fair. All right. How about cut number four, please?
When you said you don't nap, I get it, because like what you've taken on is extraordinarily difficult. And I mean, do you feel the pressure of the moment in the sense that, like, when I met you out in the hall, I said, I'm really nervous because I want this to go well for you. I want it to go well for the country. Even when I watch them on Saturday Night Live with the where they have Maya Rudolph playing you, I hate it. I don't want you being made fun of. There's too much at stake. I believe the entire future of this country right now. I mean, as America, land of the free, home of the brave, I think it's literally on the line.
I agree with you.
And when I see them, how did you react to the Saturday Night Live bit?
Well, I just saw it, actually, and it was funny. I am a huge fan of Maya Rudolph's. I think she put a lot of time into doing the piece and the character.
Now, wait a minute. So you, who have spent the better part of, what, 40 years making fun of every single thing that's decent in America, you built your entire career on that. You don't want people to make fun of Kamala Harris. Why? Why is that? Maybe you could explain it to me at some other points. And it's Saturday Night Live. Let's not kid ourselves. Saturday Night Live is not exactly going hard-hitting political critique with Kamala Harris. All right, here's a little bit more. Now, again, this is supposed to be the Kamala Harris appearance on the Howard Stern Show, but what you will find is that Stern does the vast majority of the talking, and even during those rare occasions where she has something to say, it still doesn't sound right. Cut number five.
By the way, I thought what was so amazing about 60 Minutes is the fact that Trump turned it down.
Yeah.
I mean, it just says so much. He didn't want to be fact-checked. This is maddening. This is insanity. What do you mean you don't want to be fact-checked?
I think that, you know, Howard, people ask me, what do you think is going on and what is the tension here? What's at stake? And there are many things, and I can be much more articulate than what I'm going to say. But ultimately, I do believe...
Everybody can be more articulate than you.
This is an election that is about strength versus weakness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And weakness as projected by someone who puts himself in front of the American people and does not have the strength to stand in defense of their needs, their dreams, their desires.
Ugh. What a crock of crap. Good Lord, she is just full of it. But, you know, she did, I grew up in a middle-class household. Except you didn't. That's a lie as well. And did Howard Stern, all right, just sit back, strap yourself in, cut number eight, please.
Government.
Well, here's what I worry about. You got a guy who says probably you don't really need to vote if I win. You got a guy who says, hey, we're not stopping here. You know gay rights are next.
Yeah.
You know it.
But
you
Clarence
know it.
Thomas said it.
Yep. I mean, who doesn't have, you know, here's the crazy thing to me. Who doesn't have gay people in their life? Whether it's your kid, whether it's your best friend, whether it's, I mean, the genie is out of the bottle.
Uh-huh. You know the president that has been the most friendly towards gay rights? You do realize it's been Donald Trump, do you not? Donald Trump appointed Richard Grenell. Does that name sound familiar? You know what? If it doesn't, you need to do just a tiny little bit of homework. Find out who Richard Grenell is. Find out about a president who, throughout his entire corporate career, has said, your private life is your private life. I don't care. And I think if you were to talk with Donald Trump about sexual issues like that, you know what he would say? I think he would say, I like really pretty women. How about you? No? Okay. And then he would move on to something. I just don't think he cares, which in the year 2024 is about as impactful as it can be. The only people trying to make some sort of political hay out of this are the folks on the left who have run out of opportunities to actually address issues because they're not interested in actual issues. They want to lie. They want to obfuscate. They want to pile crap on top of crap. It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. There's no doubt about that. Mike Dickinson is going to join us at 5:35 tomorrow morning. My friend John Reed is going to be here. Did you know John is gay? Seriously, somebody told me that the other day. Who knew? But anyway, John is going to be here tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. And it could be that tomorrow is the day that he announces he's running for lieutenant governor. Or it might not be, but you're not going to know unless you're there at 6 a.m. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. There's a great piece in the New York Post that you need to check out if you haven't. It is about as honest as you can possibly get. It says, Israel stands alone in fight against terror 1 year after October 7th's horrors. It's Michael Goodwin, who's just a rock-solid writer. And he makes very, very clear that as we speak, in the world, Israel is alone. And that doesn't make any sense, does it? Behind the scenes, Israel has a lot of support. Because in the Middle East, what's fascinating is that you have places, oh, like Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia hates Iran almost as much as the rest of the civilized world does. But Saudi Arabia can't publicly support Israel. But privately, they would not be the least bit upset if Israel took out Iran's nuclear capabilities. You know who would be upset, apparently? Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, and Joe Biden. This is an IDF spokesman, and this guy is good. Cut number one.
Today marks 1 year since Hezbollah opened the northern front against Israel. In an unprovoked attack, Hezbollah began firing at Israel. The heart of Hezbollah operations is in the Dahiya. Dahiya isn't just another area in Lebanon. Hezbollah itself treats it as a de facto military base. Hezbollah has closed off the Dahiya area in Beirut, and it controls who goes in and who goes out. In recent weeks, we have conducted precise airstrikes on a number of significant targets there. It was in the Dahiya that we eliminated Hassan Nasrallah inside Hezbollah's headquarters underneath civilian buildings. It was in the Dahiya that we destroyed a large stockpiles of advanced surface to sea precision-guided missiles. And it was in the Dahiya that we destroyed weapons production facilities and struck Hezbollah intelligence headquarters underneath civilian buildings. The Dahiya in Beirut is Hezbollah's stronghold.
Israel is going after Hezbollah in this neighborhood. It's not even its own city. It's part of Beirut, and it's like a neighborhood. Yeah, it's a neighborhood. Let's call it a neighborhood. It's like the town of Ashland would be inside of Hanover County, or just by comparison. And Hezbollah had turned it into a military base. The entire neighborhood couldn't get in, couldn't get out. Decent people were not going to be found there. And Israel has said, we are taking the gloves off. Because, as I remind you, this is not some sort of a battle for a little bit of land, for a better position. This is an existential battle. This is a battle for the survival of the Jewish people writ large. That's what's at stake here. And that's why Bibi Netanyahu and the IDF is saying, we have to fight this to the end. We have to eradicate Hamas and Hezbollah. Hezbollah now is asking for, and I quote here, a ceasefire. If I'm Israel, I guess I'm going to do the whole Ron DeSantis thing and, you know, just not take their phone call. Mike Dickinson joins us at 5:35. Richmond City Council is being pressured to adopt a resolution condemning Israel. We'll find out what Mike knows about that at 5:35. It's 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:34, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. We got a lot of stuff that we are dealing with. Obviously, Hurricane Milton is a huge, huge story. And I know you're thinking, wait a minute, we're not going to get hit by it. In all likelihood, we're not going to be directly impacted in that way. But if you're like most of us, you've got friends, you've got family in Florida. And damn near everybody at this point is being impacted by Milton in Florida. The exception being furthest southeast Florida. Right, Miami, the Keys, sort of coming up Broward, Palm Beach, that area. You're not really dealing with it. But I do want to remind you about the width of the state of Florida. It's pretty small. And this storm is gigantic. It is hitting the Gulf Coast. It's hitting the West Coast. It seems to be just headed straight for Tampa. And you get into Hillsborough and Pinellas and some of the outlying counties. Again, this storm is so big that the outer bands of it are causing tornadoes. And so those...
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Folks who have tried to evacuate, please remember there are 3.5 million people in that Tampa Bay area. The Atlanta Motor Speedway has been designated as an evacuation area. Lots of people that have moved up there. Some people said, well, we're going to go to the interior. We'll go inland. We'll go Central Florida. We'll go to Orlando. Some headed over to the East Coast. But again, this is a giant storm. So you just need to be aware of that, and we're going to continue to monitor that, I promise you. We've got a lot of things coming up tomorrow. General Keith Kellogg is going to be with us, and General Kellogg was someone I had the real fortunate opportunity to be with out at Liberty University, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago for the big CEO summit that Dave Brat invited me to. It was really wonderful. And General Kellogg's going to join us tomorrow to talk about the threats to America. And make no mistake, there are a lot of threats to this nation. Mike Dickinson joins us on Wednesdays at this time. And we talk about a lot of stuff. We try to focus on the reporting that Mike does as a citizen journalist. I'll tell you what, one of the few people I know who is actually... following stories, investigating stories. And one of the things I'm hearing about right now is this growing pressure on the Richmond City Council to have some sort of a resolution adopted by the council condemning Israel. And I don't know if Mike's been able to uncover anything on that or not. But anyway, I wanted to bring Mike into it. Mike, thank you for being here, sir.
Anytime, Jeff.
What are you looking at right now? What's the big story on the Mike Dickinson checklist?
Well, there's still a group of persistent pro-Hamas, anti-Israel students down at VCU. They've been at this every week since school came back in, marching, gathering down there at Monroe Park, and then marching past the police headquarters and chanting obscenities at the police department, and then going down to City Hall. They've been going to City Hall meetings and making a scene so bad that once or twice, I mean, our city council in Richmond is pretty terrible. They're pretty liberal, but right. they've even had to take a dismiss right in the middle of their session and take a recess to get everyone to calm down and clear out for a minute, because these pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian people they're out of control, and nobody Talib McKeachin doesn't take them seriously. No one takes them seriously, and they're terrorists. Yeah. I mean, there's a story that happened. It made a little blib in the paper. I believe it was last week. Mm-hmm. There's a guy, Zaid Mohammed Mandio. He is from Richmond. He's 26. He was one of the organizers of the April 25th riots down there in front of VCU, where the people tried to camp out, and then they were told to leave. And he was one of the organizers of that. He was quoted in the Richmond Times-Dispatch as one of the organizers of that event. He was arrested in late July in D.C. for defacing a monument when they had the protest against Benjamin Netanyahu up there. Mm-hmm. And this guy is, you know, once again, it's a guy that is 26 years old, hanging around the VCU campus. I guess he can't be taken seriously by adults. So he goes down to VCU and, like most of these pro-Hamas Antifa organizers, preys on the little 18 and 19-year-olds who, oh, yeah, we're going to go and stand up against genocide, but they don't know the actual truth of what Hamas stands for.
Yeah. Well, now, what exactly is a 25-year-old guy doing on campus, and how come VCU administrators are not saying, dude, you don't go here, get the hell out of here?
You would think they would, but it seems like that's one of the common threads of all of this trouble that's been at VCU. It's not so much the 18 and 19-year-old kids. They're the followers. But it seems like there's a lot of these 25, 26, 30, 40-year-olds that are either affiliated with Antifa, affiliated against pro-life. Mm-hmm. They're affiliated with Hamas. And they all go down there because they know that they can talk their BS and get a following of these little young, impressionable kids to follow them around and, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, but we really don't know. And I mean, if you ask all these college kids about what the whole issue with Israel is, they can't tell you. They can't tell you anything. They just know Israel bad, Hamas good. It's genocide. Mm-hmm. It's genocide. They can't mm-hmm. tell you the facts. Right. Most of them don't know who Netanyahu is.
You know, it's a great point. I think that for some of them, and you tell me, I mean, you obviously you attended VCU, although that was back in the day. I think they did a lot more education, but they're 18 years old, and they think that they are down with the struggle. They don't know what the struggle is, but hey, they've got a kafia, and they get to cover their faces, and they get to shake their fists, and they get to scream, and then you sort of ask them a follow-up question, and they're clueless. It's a little bit like this Greta Thunberg. God, there's a part of me that almost feels sorry for her, but here she is now. She's taken Hamas's side. I don't get it, Mike.
Most of them don't have any idea what they're talking about. They're kids that have come from, you know, sheltered high school backgrounds, or they've lived and the, you know, not to stereotype, the West End of Richmond and nice little hot society. And now this is their chance to come to college, and they're going to be rebels, and they're going to stand up to the man. They're going to stand mm-hmm. up and fight the power. But yep. they don't know what that power is, and they're not educated, so they're very ignorant. But I do blame VCU a great deal for allowing these people that are not students to hang around the campus and lead these riots, or lead these actions that are against mm-hmm. the police and endanger everybody.
Well, you know, we're talking about some of these riots, some of the things that are dangerous. Mike Dickinson is joining us. Mike is our citizen journalist, citizen reporter, doing all sorts of great investigation. You know, the October 7th situation, Mike, there were bricks and riot supplies that were showing up all around the city of Richmond. And I'll tell you what, I did not hear or see any coverage of that anywhere.
Yes, you know, the Times-Dispatch, they're one of the main perpetrators of advancing this false narrative of what's really going on in the city. Mm-hmm. You know, once again, in the media coverage of October 7th and everything, once again, they have Shireen Hadid on all of their media. She is a VCU student, right. And I guess someone at the Times-Dispatch has a love affair with her because she's pro-Hamas, and every time there's something going on, they put her picture on the news or the digital media, and they interview her, and they don't ever tell the truth about anything and talk to anyone else other than her. They get their facts from her. Mm-hmm. And you look at the reporters at the Times-Dispatch who are writing these stories. They're all these young, woke reporters, the same kind of reporters that cover 2020,
yep.
that have a social agenda. You look at their Facebook pictures or their Twitter pictures or X photos. They're all social activists. They're not reporters. And then at the same time, you look at stuff that's going on and you see the local newspaper is laying off all these reporters and wondering where all of their readers have gone. And it's because the vast majority of people don't get their news from the Richmond Times-Dispatch anymore or any, you know, any legacy media, because they employ so many of these young woke reporters that have a social agenda and not just the facts.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, you're right. Number one, I didn't know they had any reporters left, because every time I turn around, they've sliced their newsroom again and again and again. They have a couple of columnists that seem to write exactly the same column over and over and over again. But I didn't even know that they were the worst. You know, out in Charlottesville, what is it? Is it the Daily Progress out there? I don't know. Whatever
it is. Yes, it is the Daily Progress out there.
They've got one guy covering the UVA situation, and I'm thinking, dude, you got to pick up your keffiyeh at the door because you're the only one not wearing the costume.
Exactly.
You're saying the same stuff. You just don't look like the others.
Exactly.
You know, it's craziness. Well, what do you think about the Richmond City Council? I, like you, don't have a great deal of confidence in the vast majority of them, but thus far, I will give them credit. They have stood firm against the anti-Israel, the Israel condemnation, the pro-Hamas resolution that some of these lunatics want. Do you think that they are going to be able to stay the course?
Likely. It depends if they keep the same members this coming election. You know, Reva Trammell is a voice of reason on the city council. She's very pro-law enforcement. She's taken a lot of hits for that, but she's always constantly been a supporter of the police department and never sought to do anything to harm the police department. There's some terrible ones on there. Stephanie Lynch, she ought to just move to San Francisco. That's where she belongs. She's terrible. I mean, she's just like Mike Jones, who used to be on there, terrible. And then there's a lot of old school African-American Democrats that are on the city council. And they're Democrat in nature, but they're not ready to make the full leap to being full-blown woke Democrat.
Well, you know what? In the year 2024, I'll take that, Mike. I'll settle for that.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be the Democrats the party of socially liberal, but we are not going to burn the United States down. Yeah. And these days, it seems like every liberal, every new liberal, especially the young ones, they want to burn the flag, burn the Constitution. Oh, we don't need free speech. Free speech encourages you to think on your own. We don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kamala Harris was quoted, you know, I think recently saying that, you know, too much free speech, too much disinformation, or too many differing opinions is bad.
Jeez. Well, listen, if we can, as Major Burns said on MASH many years ago, individuality is fine as long as we all do it together. Mike, where do people follow you on social media?
Mike D for RVA on X.
I love it. Mike, I appreciate you being here, man. It's 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVM. Taking a look at our Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, VCU, bastion of useful idiots. Is that a major at VCU these days? Useful ideology? Idiotology? I don't know. Maybe it is. Another text on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Jeff, Howard Stern is such a sellout. He's truly become Howard Imus. Yeah, you know, that is a great assessment. He has become exactly what he used to rail against. He built his career by telling you what a regular duty was and how he hated all of the special folks, right, in that rarefied air. And then he got himself into that rarefied air and decided he hated the rest of us who were still down here in the real world. I agree with you. Complete and total sellout. 804, Jeff, you know, if you say FEMA's doing a crappy job, it's demoralizing. Apparently, it hurts their feelings. Wow. Wow. FEMA, on the best of days, has a very, very difficult job. The employees. Right? If you work for FEMA, you're never going to a beautiful beach location to sit there and, you know, have a cocktail and rub suntan oil all over yourself. You're going there because there's some terrible disaster. So I personally think it takes a very special person to be in that space. If you've made the decision that FEMA or another agency like that is where you are going to build your career, then there is something very special about you. You're a first responder, in my opinion, the same way that law enforcement, firefighters, EMS folks are. It's a really tough, tough job. I think when most of us talk about what seem to be the failures from FEMA, we're talking about the upper levels. Now, you remember during Hurricane Katrina, President George W. Bush flew in an airplane above New Orleans to survey the damage. And he was mocked incessantly for doing that. He was attacked because he said to Michael Brown, who was the director of FEMA, "Great job, Brownie." And we were told that George W. Bush wasn't doing enough with Katrina, and what he was really doing was trying to have black people die. Now, that's outrageous. Specious on its face, but nonetheless, it circulated. Now take a look at what's happening as we speak. In Western North Carolina, you have all sorts of folks, a week or so, 2 weeks, whatever it is, after Hurricane Helene, who have lost everything. They don't have power, they don't have food, they don't have shelter. And it just doesn't seem like a lot of stuff is going on to help them. Did you notice that? Now, why is that the case in Western North Carolina? I don't think everything has an underlying political agenda. I really don't. But if I were inclined that way, I would say, well, Western North Carolina is, generally speaking, a more conservative area. It's more rural. It's heavily Republican. It's going to be a big turnout, or it would have been a big turnout for Donald Trump. Maybe that's the reason that North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper seems to be slow walking all that help for Western North Carolina, including opportunities for those folks to be able to vote. Southwest Virginia hit by Hurricane Helene. Terrible damage done. Governor Youngkin and senior members of his team, senior staff officials, cabinet members have all been there multiple times, rolling up their sleeves and helping. Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis. You may like him, you may not. I don't care. Ron DeSantis gets down to business, gets the job done. And those folks right now are facing a massive storm that has the potential to cause ungodly disaster. Kamala Harris was sitting on a soundstage with Stephen Colbert drinking a beer. Tone deaf at the very least. Callous and uncaring at the very worst. All right, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my friend John Reed's going to be here. I want to make sure you're listening to John tomorrow at 6, because tomorrow might be the day he makes it official that he's running for lieutenant governor. I hope so. I'll be listening, waiting for that. Tomorrow afternoon, General Keith Kellogg, former National Security Advisor, is going to be joining us. I want you to have a wonderful evening. It is absolutely beautiful. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.